For his grace, mercy, and peace from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So our text today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2, and a few more readings from chapter 4 and 5. So listen now as we hear Luke's description of the early church, because there's a lot of connection between them and us today. So see if you can make that connection. So first I read from the fourth chapter. And they, talking about our early church fathers and mothers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayers. The great grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many were owners of land or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the feet of the disciples. And it was distributed to each as they had need. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. So people gathered from towns all around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day of those being saved. Amen. You know, in my current role in ministry, I have the opportunity to serve many different congregations in our circuit. I've been called a circuit rider. I don't have a horse, though. I have the pleasure to serve briefly, and sometimes not so briefly, various congregations all over central New Mexico, both large and small, rural and urban. And in my travels, I'm often asked a similar question, and it goes something like this. Pastor, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about the church? What are we going to do about our declining membership, our loss of attendance, our lack of volunteers? What are we going to do to ensure our faith is passed on to the next generation, our kids, our grandkids? What is happening to our church, our society, our country? What are we going to do? Often when I hear these words, they're said in desperation, sometimes with tears of the one speaking. Sometimes they're said in anger, with clenched teeth and scowls on their face. And no matter who's doing the asking, they're always asked out of sincere concern, and sometimes they ask with a sense of hopelessness. It's times like these that I point to today's readings from Acts. It's when they ring the loudest and truest to me. The work and the stories about our ancestors in the early church and the energy and the zeal of the apostles comes first, front and center to me. It's when I reflect on their joy, their drive, their excitement. And it's in their exuberance and knowing that the Lord has risen, that he has returned, and that he's coming back, it shines the brightest. Again, from Luke's writing. And awe came upon every soul, and all who believed were together and had things in common. And day by day they attended temple together and broke bread in their homes. And every day and in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Luke reports no wringing of hands, no fears or tears, no desperation, only expectant joy. Hearts and minds and lips filled with gladness and song and prayer and hopefulness, all proclaiming thankfulness for what the Lord has done. You know, it's during times of great desperation, of not knowing what's next to come, like some feel today, that I advise people to look at the early church as an example and think of all they faced, threats, imprisonments, beatings, executions. Then look at their zeal and their drive as inspiration and for us in our current time. The fathers and mothers of the early church faced grave odds. The society they faced was solidly against them. They were outnumbered by thousands upon thousands of disbelievers. And the consequences for expressing their faith, for preaching, for teaching, for speaking for the truth was often death. Yet out of reverence and thankfulness, out of love of the Lord Jesus Christ, speak out is what they did. In our text for this morning, we get a little glimpse of what their life and focus was like at that time. Today, we look through a little biblical window that shows us just a snippet of their lives. So can it be that what we need to do is just the same? Can it be that the Holy Spirit opened this little window for us to peer back in time, to see the challenges and obstacles early believers face? Is he letting us see the similarities of their early experience so that we can learn and follow? Our text tells us that the Spirit was strong with these men and women. Their entire lives were dedicated to the Lord. Their focus was not distracted, or their focus was not distracted, even though they faced some of the same evils that we see today. They were not derailed by an unbelieving public or a challenging government. They were not diverted or steered off course by legal obstacles or public ridicule. Our text tells us of a belief, a hopefulness, a perseverance. Members of the early church were faithful and united by the grace of God, and that was effective. The Holy Spirit worked through them. Through their preaching and teaching, their charity, their love of the Lord, their love of one another, many, many thousands were added to their ranks. Scripture tells us that they spent a great deal of time listening and learning the words of the apostles. Luke says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They spent some time every day in prayer and worship at the temple, giving thanks, offering praise. And they looked after each other. They pooled their resources. They broke bread together, both common meals and Holy Communion. United in thought and action, they took care of one another. They enjoyed each other's company and fellowship, and they were active in the community. They took to heart Jesus' command to love one another with generous hearts, as he said. They helped all who had needs. So then, to this loving, praising, studious, worshipful band of early followers, the Lord added to their numbers day by day. Pastor, what are we going to do about the church? Well, like the early church, our focus should be on rightful, regular worship, on the teaching and preaching of the words of the apostles given to us through the Lord's Holy Scripture. We need not fear teaching the truth that is written or calling sinners to repentance. We need to administer forgiveness where it is due and baptize in the name of the triune God. We need to administer the Holy Eucharist, Jesus' own body and blood, his means of offering himself to us today. A meal whereby he becomes part of us and we become part of him, so that our faith and drive and zeal is extended and enhanced. We need to be together in fellowship, both for fun and moral support, for lifting each other up, but also to combine our efforts and resources to work together to support our external communities, both near and far. We need to offer helping hands so that those with misguided moral compasses begin to look to the church for support. So their thinking is realigned so that their lives begin to point to the Lord, so that the Holy Spirit working through our efforts teaches them His righteous ways rather than the ways of the fallen world. You know, our society idolizes self. It idolizes youth and wealth, power, material things, pleasure. It makes food and travel and sports and recreation more important than anything else. It ignores the Lord's call and His mandate to love one another, to love the Lord with all one's heart and mind and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We live in a world that wants more and more and thinks less and less of others, and thinks even less of their Creator and His call for a righteous life. So what are we going to do about the church? We're going to be the church, a church of prayer, a church of teaching and learning. We're going to lift up our Lord in praise and thanksgiving the way that Scripture tells us to do. And we're going to do a good job of it. We're going to worship scripturally with holy intent and sincerity, honoring our Lord above all distractions, knowing that His word, His rod, and His staff curb our selfish desire, reflect our sin, and guide us towards righteous living. We're going to band together to do the best we can in work and life and with our families, all while supporting the needs of the community. We're going to work together doing what we can with what we have so that we help those who have needs, be they physical or emotional or spiritual. We're going to care about others even if they don't care about themselves. We're going to care about them so they can see and experience true Christian love, perhaps for the first time in their lives. The Lord says, ours is not to worry. In fact, Jesus tells us, do not fear. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Give not as the world gives, but do as I give to you. In abundance. What are we going to do about the church? We're going to give the church, give the Lord our love, our devotion, give Him our thanks and praise, and excel at being a loving and giving people. Paul said it this way in his letter to the Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which this is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, and let your love be genuine. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of others. Be generous, zealous, merciful. In the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds forever focused on Christ our Lord. Amen.